Hello and welcome to the January edition of the Tech IE Radio Show. Tech IE is a radio show put on by the New Hampshire section of the IEEE. IEEE, Advancing Humanity Through Technology. This month we're going to be talking about the USAFE NH mobile application and the Ideathon that's coming up on February 6th. I'm Ed Nelson, your host, and I've got Anton Kaska joining me again this month. He's going to be a panelist. As a special guest, we've got Professor Sharon Potter of the University of New Hampshire at the Durham campus. She is the director and co-founder of the Prevention Innovation Research Center. Did I get that right, Sharon?
Prevention Innovations Research Center.
I heard about the USAFE NH mobile app, and I was really curious about it. I saw that it was to help provide resources to victims of sexual assault. Is that correct?
Yes. So the USAFE New Hampshire app was launched on August 29th in 2016, and it's a mobile app. And the impetus for this app came about when I had a conversation with my colleague, who's a former state trooper, a retired state trooper, and she's now the head of the New Hampshire Attorney General General's Office Sexual Assault Response Team. And we were, it was the night before a meeting, and there was a bunch of us having dinner with the keynote speaker. And she said, you know, in New Hampshire, there's really incredible resources all over the state for victims of sexual and relationship violence and stalking. But how do we, what's the best way to get these resources in the hands of a distressed 20-year-old and their allies? And, you know, I said, well, let's do this. So the USAFE app team was born, and it's been this incredible collaboration between folks from the New Hampshire Attorney General's Office, the New Hampshire Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, as well as the Applied Engineering and Sciences Department at UNH Manchester, with Professors Mihaela Sabine and Karen Jens. And all of us from UNH Durham and Manchester have a team of students from disciplines as different as social work, computer science, women's studies, who are all part of the creative and the tech part of this app.
Wow. It sounds like a lot's going on there. So are the who are the developers? Was that the students from UNH, or is that some other team?
Yes, so it's amazing. The developers are student developers who are computer science undergraduate majors under the direction of Professors Mihaela Sabine and Karen Jin. And then the content and the design for the app and all of the other things are has been informed by our research center, the Prevention Innovations Research Center, as well as the professionals at the New Hampshire Attorney General's Office, the New Hampshire Coalition, and students from majors as different as social work, women's studies, and sociology.
Oh, wow.
And the business school, yeah. We've had majors from everybody who have had a hand in the development of the app.
It's great to have such a large team to draw on to put this together.
Right. It's been incredible. And then we were lucky enough in May to win an Entrepreneurs Fund of New Hampshire, an AMP Award. And with that, we were really lucky enough to get incredible coaching from both business and marketing folks from around the state.
I've got a question. I looked at the app earlier today and kind of walked through it and checked it out just to see what some of the functionality was, because my background is in communications and computer security. And
okay.
So SAFE, it caught my ear. And so I also do emergency preparedness work. So I was interested in that. And so I went on the app and I said, okay, so I got the background of what the app is for. I found it very solid, very good, and actually very quick. I've got to compliment the team. I was able to go in like some student and just click immediately and, you know, are you injured? No. Do you need medical attention? And well, if I want to contact or find a local hospital, it doesn't matter what campus I'm at, I can find it, you know, within a click or two. It was quite impressive. I know you're planning on doing some more work down the road. One of the things that struck me is, do you have any way of tracking the usage? Because obviously if somebody's in that situation, they may want to keep quiet and have everything confidential. So and there's no tracking in the app itself, which I really like, because I would see that as a danger if a stalker or something was able to get a hold of a person's phone. They could, for example, see if they were reporting on them or something, if there was any kind of tracking there. There's not. Somebody's able to contact the police or find a hospital or look for help, and nobody will know that they got for help. But then, do you have a way of tracking usability or...
Yeah, so that's a great question, Anton. So absolutely, the goal of the app was to have it be anonymous so that people would use it and nobody would ever know that someone used it because they needed help that in that exact minute, or that they were looking for help for a friend, for a child, for a student. And right. So what we are able to do is we're able to track the number of downloads. So the way that we've been marketing it is we have all sorts of swag, if you would, different flyers, water bottles, pens, and we have a team of students who kind of set up a table at different student days at universities. And if you show my incredible team of students that you have downloaded the app on your phone, they will give you a water bottle and or, you know, whatever swag they happen to have with them that day. We're also really trying to work on increasing people downloading it. And so we're starting a student ambassador program where we'll have different student ambassadors at each campus who will kind of work with us to increase usage. We're planning all sorts of different activities so that people will want to download the app and keep it. What we know from students is that they often download apps, and if they don't find them useful, they'll, you know, take them off their phone because space is such a high commodity on their phones. And so one of the things that these incredible students I'm so lucky to work with came up with this summer is an Expect Me feature. I don't know if you saw that when you were scrolling through. And you can, a student is at the library, it's 11 o'clock at night, and it's kind of dark, and they're walking back to their dorm room. They can put in their cell phone number of one of their friends or their parent, whoever, and if they don't get back to their room within whatever time they say, they set a timer, if they know it's going to take 7 minutes versus 14 minutes, then the app will automatically call their friend, or you could set it to call 911. And so one of the things that we're hoping that will come up at the Ideathon is different ways so that students who have this or people who have this app on their phone will build a relationship with their app, and so that they'll want to have You Safe New Hampshire. So we're hoping the fabulous people who come to our Ideathon on February 6th will help us, you know, come up with ways that we can continue to have people build the relationship with their app, with the You Safe app.
So question, you mentioned the Ideathon. Could you tell us a little bit about the Ideathon?
Yeah, so the Ideathon came upon because professors Mihaela Sabin and Karen Jin, they're incredible. And as a lot of you know, that people are often intimidated by disciplines like computer sciences or technology. And what some of the research shows is that if people understand that there's so many social justice components to technology, it might be a way to, you know, instead of having a student say, oh, you know, that's, you know, too much math, I can't do that, but realize that, you know, there's a way to combine both the importance of technology in social innovation and to help and assist with social justice issues. This may be a way to bring both women and men who haven't thought about these disciplines into them. So it's twofold. It's a way to kind of to get more people to understand about Youth Safe New Hampshire, come up with ideas, and we're giving prizes in three areas. So people could win a prize for the coding, the team that kind of does the most innovative coding, the team that comes up with like a really cool new idea, and a team that comes up with design. So we're really trying to get all sorts of talents at the table and at the Ideathon to help make YouSafe New Hampshire a more viable and useful app. And the other thing I have to say is that in the full year that we were developing the app, we drove across the state and held focus groups at different campuses around the state, both community colleges, four-year colleges, technical schools, and universities. And we would, you know, students would come, and all we could give them was $5 Dunkin' Donut cards. But we would, you know, kind of understand how they use mobile technology, how this app would be of use to them. And we also got a lot of input from both university and college professionals, as well as folks who work in the crisis centers and deal with the victims of sexual assault and relationship violence regularly. So it's been the design and the usability has been informed by many different groups of people who have been very generous with their time. Offer a $5 Dunkin' Donut gift card.
Well, you do what you can.
Yeah.
So the Ideathon, you don't necessarily need to be a computer programmer to participate.
Right, and that was the point, that, you know, we really wanted to showcase that there's really different and cool ways that technology can be used to help solve social justice issues.
So where will the Ideathon be taking place? Is that going to be at the Durham campus?
And at the Interoperability Lab at the Durham campus. And we, I guess I can get you a Bitly link. So students, it's for students at any of the New Hampshire campuses. They have to be over 18. And they can just register on this Bitly link.
Yeah, send me the link and I'll make sure it goes up on our website.
Okay.
How long will the Ideathon be going on for? Is this a 24-hour kind of thing?
So this is our first foray into an Ideathon. So we will be doing it it's going to start on a Monday night at 5 o'clock at night, and then it'll end at 10 o'clock at night. We've already had pizza donated, so there'll be pizza. I've got a lot of people bringing sweets and juices and sodas. So we're going to try to keep everybody, you know, well-fed with lots of sugar and chocolate.
Sounds like fun. Do you have, Sharon, do you have any plans in the future as this app grows? Because obviously it's going to grow. I'm sure some people have some great ideas that'll pop up to further protect people down the road. One of the things I was thinking about is if somebody's being assaulted, obviously their phone can be taken. How do you protect, you know, an attacker, say, from looking at whatever they've been doing on the app? Right now there's not anything that would perhaps harm them. There's just the app. But, you know, down the road, there might be features that are really important for a victim that you'd want them to have.
You mean if the phone was taken from the victim?
Yeah, if the phone was taken from the victim. So, like, the app doesn't appear to be locked. If I'm in the phone, I can get to the app.
Gotcha.
And right now, there's no data in the app. You know, there's not any personal data. There's not anything that says, hey, I called Ed and told him you're hitting me.
Right.
Right? But there could, in the future, there could be some type of data it would be highly sensitive, especially for a victim. And that's what I was thinking about. Do you have any plans?
Right. So we do not want that app to collect any data.
Okay, good. So that's the goal. So that would alleviate the problem of it being taken.
Right. So the protection of a survivor or an ally who uses the app for any reason comes first. And that's front and foremost in all of our minds who are on the development team, even those of us, you know, like me, who is a researcher and not a technology guru. But the primary goal is to make sure that people are able to use it safe. And there's also, we're almost finished doing it, that if you're, so Androids, when you're in an app, you can kind of delete the screen and be kind of thrown out of the app. And I'm not the technology person on this, but iOS, you can't do that as easily. So what's going to happen is if you, it's almost finished, if you click back, you're going to be able to, like, if So say you were on it and the person who was harassing you comes back into the room, you'll be able to click a button and it'll just show that you're on a weather screen looking up the weather.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. That's really good. Yeah, it's just you could not even look at the screen if you know it's in the lower left. You just kind of grab the phone slowly and that's it. You've wiped the screen already. That's a great feature.
Right. And Android lets you kind of escape out of the apps, but the iOS they don't let you do that.
Okay. Not as easily,
right.
So for those of us that haven't seen the app, so if you want to use the app, could you just lead us through some of the things you might do with the app when you go to use it?
Yes, so absolutely. So there's two things. The app is available both on the Google Play Store as well as the Apple App Store. And then we also have a website, USafeNH, and it's a desktop-friendly version of the app. So it has everything except the Expect Me feature, right? Because you wouldn't be walking across campus with your laptop open.
Right.
So, but the really cool thing is that we have a lot of students who are all different ages across New Hampshire, and they might be in a violent relationship or being a victim of stalking, and they'll be able to get this same information from their desktop, which is a really cool feature. So everything that we have on the app is also available on the website. And so if I go into the USafe New Hampshire app, you'll see a welcome screen, and it'll ask you what school you are interested in, what school you want information for. So you can choose all of the schools that we have in the state of New Hampshire. And we have worked with all of the different administrators to make sure that all of the information for the schools on the app, and I think we have 24 or 26 right now, are how the administrators want that information to be found. So the very first thing on is the resource page, and that's the Expect Me feature, which would make sure that you're safely able, that you have somebody kind of looking out for you if you're walking across campus, you're walking to a party, wherever you might be. And then the next thing we have is helpful answers. And when you go to the helpful answers, you have a screen and it says, is it who needs help? So is it for the person themselves or is it for someone else? And when you get to the someone else page, it says, who are you? And we have special information for friends, a supportive partner, a family member, a faculty or staff, somebody who's an off-community, campus community member, so maybe an employer if that student works at the mall or a restaurant off-campus and they need help, and even prospective students. And depending on who this person is who needs help, the information is tailored for them and kind of takes you through. So if I say I'm a friend, there's a whole bunch of helpful of FAQs. I happen to be on the Colby Sawyer page right now. But, it says how my friend was just sexually assaulted. What should I do? And there's a number of answers. And, again, all of the answers, we've worked with all of the crisis center professionals who support those particular schools as well as the school administrators.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, we've got the app open here. We're looking at it as you're leading us through it. One of the things that strikes me is I'm just wondering if some of the words, the way things are presented, whether they came out of the collaboration with the programmers, if they came from the administrators or the sociologists or, I guess I'm just curious how the user interface was put together.
So we have collected so much focus group data from around students and practitioners and administrators around the state. And basically, it was a collaborative effort. And when we had something we liked, it was a very much an iterative process. We'd bring it back out, to other focus groups, and we'd say, what do you think? So, it took like about 12 months to get the language, and we still continue to edit it. you know, as different things changes, as somebody will say something to us and we'll be like, oh, we didn't think about that. So it's still very much in progress, but very much usable. We really, really want this to be a resource that's dependable.
And I know previously you mentioned some of the things you did to try and encourage people to download it by offering swag and things like that. Is there a way, do you have any idea of how many times the app has been downloaded? How many students might have used it or installed it?
Yeah, so as of about December, we had about 2,500 users. But, you know, we still need to build it. And that's why this incredible team I have, we've been really kind of developing, like, these are the five things we're going to do this semester. We sent out actually letters on Monday to our colleagues at the different campuses saying, you know, we have these five different events. We can come to your campus. We can give you the stuff. You can do it. We can do it for you. So we really want to raise awareness and also increase the number of downloads. And then also when it's downloaded again, this is this notion that this is we don't want this to be something on the phone that people forget about and then they delete because, you know, there's the newest and greatest thing they need to put on their phone and they need to make room.
Right.
So the way that my team talks about this is, you know, how do we get our users to, like, build a relationship with USAFE New Hampshire so that it's, like, something that they know is on their app and that they can depend on and maybe tell their friends to download. We're also going to have a contest this semester that the students the three students in the state who get the most people to download the app will come up with some Amazon gift cards for them. And the way that we'll know that a friend downloads is we'll have them take the It's On Us pledge, which was the former White House campus sexual violence prevention program that Joe Biden started.
It strikes me, is this app, like, targeted specifically at students or just any woman that happens to be living or near these college campuses?
Yeah, I was wondering that too, because what struck me is this is tailored very specifically for the schools or those school communities, but it would be a matter of wordsmithing to make it applicable, say, to a town in New Hampshire. So somebody that's assaulted in any town, instead of schools, you'd have a list of all the towns. I'm thinking once the app, you know, takes off a little bit more, have you thought about that and increasing the use outside the educational community in New Hampshire?
Yeah, absolutely. And my colleague, Kathy Kimball, who's the state's trooper, who really is the impetus for all of this happening, you know, is in meetings around the state, and she shows it to everybody, and that's been feedback. So, you know, absolutely, it wouldn't take very much to make it useful for a town. The whole reason that this started was that there's these really disturbing statistics that really haven't changed, but when you send your daughter to college, there's a 1 in 5 chance that she'll be the victim of either a completed or attempted sexual assault. So, you know, this 18 to 26 group of women is probably at the highest risk. And that's where a lot of the prevention is being targeted right now. But, you know, when I was part of the team a number of years ago that looked at the lifetime prevalence of sexual violence among women who were over 18 in the state of New Hampshire. And the statistics are really pretty sobering. Like, over the lifetime, the statistics were basically 1 in 5 women had been a victim of a completed sexual assault. And these were women who were 18. I think the oldest person in our study was about 76.
Okay. So, yeah, so this app is targeting the most at-risk population to start with.
Right now. And then we were really lucky to come in third prize on December 1st. The University of New Hampshire, through the Peter T. Paul Business School, has a social venture innovation challenge. And we won third prize, which was $2,500, and an anonymous donor matched that award. And so what we're doing right now is we're developing a marketing strategy, and it's our hope that we will be able to market the USAFE U.S., so if we bring it to Massachusetts, it would be USAFE MA, to other campuses around the Eastern Seaboard. And we would sell it to the campus officials or to the schools, because we always, always want the app to be free for the students, their families, their parents. And we're hoping that, you know, if we can sell it either to state officials or to campus administrators to buy for their campus.
Right.
And in New Hampshire, our commitment is to always, that the app will always be free in New Hampshire, because, you know, the app wouldn't be here without all of the incredible input and insights we've had from, like, literally the state of New Hampshire.
Yeah, I remember when I was going to college, escorting some of my female friends across campus simply because they were concerned. And I know at one point you could call campus security and they would escort you across campus. So that was in the late 80s. So this problem just keeps going on and on, I guess.
Right, and it's really incredible. The very first campus sexual violence prevalence study was done in 1978 by Mary Koss, and she's like a brilliant researcher. She's in Arizona, and she's really kind of led the way about how you study prevalence and incidence of sexual and relationship violence and stalking. And what's so sobering is that the numbers are the same that she found in 1978. It's still this 1 in 5 chance of having your daughter being sexually, you know, a victim of a completed or attempted assault. And that's always really sobering to me, that, you know, people keep saying, oh, you know, it's a much bigger problem now. And it's not a much bigger problem. It's the problem is the same, but now it's become, we're talking about it, and we're, you know, coming up with creative ways, hopefully, to begin to address it.
Yeah, and I hope that the USAFE NH will help address it, at least in New Hampshire, and then
it's an effective tool. I mean, there's a problem, and there's an effective aid, if you will.
Yeah.
That students of whatever gender can turn to, and very rapidly, especially.
Right.
And they can go through it really quick and get the information, especially if they've played with it just a little bit. I mean, it doesn't take much just to go through it and know what's where, and it's set up for your school, and that's it. So you're good. And then if I go to, I don't know, some other campus, you know, then you can just switch the campus really easy. It's like change campuses, press a button and select a school. So it's really straightforward. It provides something needed, because the information, like you said, is there. It's just the information's in New Hampshire, but finding it for wherever you're at was the problem. And so I think you did a really good job, the team did, of solving that problem.
Right, and then there's also these issues, too, with reporting. You know, sometimes people want to, you know, make a report, and sometimes they don't. So there's we've given the victims or their friends or their family members, you know, kind of all of the different options that
right.
they have. So we're saying, you know, unfortunately, as a victim, you do, like, it's really horrible that you're a victim, but there's not one way to handle this crisis, that there's a lot of different options in the state.
So for the Ideathon, how many, do you know how many students or how many participants that you might get?
So we have capacity for about 65, and if this, or it's an even number, we're having teams of two, so 66 students. And then we're going to have coaches, and a lot of the team who have had roles in development will also be there to answer questions. We're trying to get some of the people who have mentored us to be judges.
So, Sharon, is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. Just, you know, encourage people to look at both the Prevention Innovation Research Center website and the USAFENewHampshire.org.
And what time on February 6th does the Ideathon start?
It starts at 5 o'clock.
So, Sharon, thanks. Thanks for being on our show this month and talking about USAFENH and the Ideathon. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be on the show.
You're welcome. Maybe we can have you on sometime later and you can tell us how the Ideathon went.
Okay, that would be great.
So for our listeners, it's going to be February 6th, starting at 5 p.m., going to 10 p.m.
Right.
At the UNH Durham campus.
The interoperability lab. And there's parking all along there.
And what was that phone number to dial, just in case they can't get to our website in time to register?
It's
just coming up, so maybe.
Yeah, so they can always call the Prevention Innovations Research Center, and that's 603 area code 862-5023. And all they have to do is, you know, tell us they're interested in that ideathon, and we can email them information.
All right. Thank you, Sharon. So if you like what you're hearing, you might consider becoming an IEEE member. Yeah. You can find out more about the New Hampshire section of the IEEE at this website, iee-nh.org. We've got a new website, so I hope you check it out. This month, I've had Anton Kaska joining me. I'm your host, Ed Nelson. This has been the January edition of Tech IE. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.